Hello everyone, I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Saturday night, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit night. So I'm really excited here to start tonight. Now just be with me here. Stay with me while I... Here we go. And I did not open up. I've stranded dial pad. Uber conference. This is an emergency Uber conference. Here I am. I remembered you finally.
Amen.
Hello, Sister Kathy.
Yeah. Hello. Finally. Hello.
Finally. Sister Sharon, hello.
Hello. Yeah, we're about ready to toss the coin on who is going to call you.
All right, and
you're here.
Would this be Gigi?
Looking forward to tonight.
Gigi and Randy, by any chance?
Here's Gigi.
Hi, good evening.
Hello.
Looking forward to tonight. Hoping it includes Joel Kramer.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, we were talking about that this afternoon.
Okay, now I have to figure out here. How to, I'm in the wrong place. All right. Now I have to figure out, all right, just one click. It's two clicks. Ah, I've done it. All right. We've got it set up for the first hour now. The first hour, we haven't heard from Oral Roberts in a long time. And I believe that this is a show we haven't seen before. At least I think it is. And even if it isn't, it's going to be good. And then the second hour, I have Joel Kramer about the Lord's Ascension from the Mount of Olives. And I thought that ought to be really, really interesting. Now, on Saturday, I go to my Shalom, and it was really good today. This is Yom Kippur, like, week, I guess you would call it. So everything was really, really good today. But I'm telling you, Joel Kramer's got icing on the cake for my teaching. They said it opened up a whole new understanding of scriptures, just like it did for us when all those geographic locations came alive as he was bringing it from the word, and that you could see things. You could see it, maps and pictures and all. So they really like it, Sister Kathy. We've got a whole new dimension to the word here now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Chaplain.
Yeah. So I was very, very happy with the reception today when I was there from Wednesday. So it was very, very good. And anything, Sister? Oh, how did Friday night go? I came right. Did you close a little early Friday night?
About 10 to 11, something like that. Wasn't too early.
Yeah, I was there probably a 5 to 11, and it was closed. I didn't see
anybody. We just missed it then, or you just missed us, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I tried.
Yeah. Well,
I tried.
I'm glad. You know, I think about that, you know, every Friday night when we're getting ready to close, you know, thinking, oh, I wonder if Chaplain's coming or whatever, but we're always hopeful to see you. Always. So
hey, I spoke the closing prayer there for salvation. I spoke on Titus 2:13.
Okay.
And about heaven, what heaven was like, and about the Lord's coming and the New Jerusalem and the marriage supper of the Lamb, and all. And then I spoke to him about sin. You can't go there with sin. No, Ernie liked it. Ernie really liked it. So, I mean, I like to put a variety in there. The gospel is the gospel, but there's all sorts of ways to lead to the gospel. So that's what I did. I led them with the Blessed Hope and the New Jerusalem and the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. So hopefully it exhorted some people to realize they can't go to heaven with sin. Okay. Oh, and we've got Rita here. Hello, Sister Rita.
Good evening, Chaplain John. And hello to everyone.
All right. Okay. So let me fire up here. Okay. In case anybody sneaks in. So now we're going to hear Oral Roberts. And it's titled, well, just one of his movies, or one of his Tent Crusades, 1950s. It doesn't have a date on it. No date. Okay, Akron, Ohio. So this one here, I know we haven't heard. That would stick out, Akron, Ohio. Oh, let me pray. Father, I thank you for today and all the blessings, Lord. I thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And Lord, I'm asking that you would bless this time together because Brother Oral Roberts had especially this era here in the 1950s, he had an incredible, incredible ministry and tremendous power. Power of the Holy Spirit was he generating. Thank you, Lord. So I ask, we're all paying attention. We're all going to receive a blessing, Lord, and that whatever we do, Lord, this ministry is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant, which you made with us on Calvary, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
My name is Oral Roberts. I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm sitting on the platform of our huge tent cathedral seating 10,000 people, which we stretch in various cities over America in evangelistic and healing campaigns. And because I'm sure that you would like to be sure that the event you're about to see actually happened, I have asked Judge Abner Zook of the Akron Municipal Court to prepare an affidavit for me to affirm and sign.
Reverend Roberts, do you solemnly affirm that the statement which you are about to make will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
You may read the statement.
I, Oral Roberts, do solemnly affirm that the events, incidents, and statements which you are about to witness occurred and were recorded on motion picture film and soundtrack as they actually happened during and in open meetings recently held in Akron, Ohio, and furthermore, that no part of said incidents, events, or statements was prearranged or rehearsed in any manner whatsoever.
You may sign on the line. Now I will sign as a judge of the court. That makes it legal.
Thank you, Judge Zook.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my happy privilege and pleasure to present the man that God has raised up with a message for your deliverance. God's man for this hour, the Reverend Oral Roberts. Tonight?
Amen.
Do you love him with all your heart?
Amen.
Raise up your hands, tell him how much you love him tonight. We love thee, our Heavenly Father. We praise thee this night for thy blessings to the children of man. We worship thee in spirit and in truth because you are so good to us. And tonight we ask you to bless every man, woman, and child in this great audience, to set them free and to give them peace and joy and happiness. Do it tonight for your glory. Amen. Now, before you're seated tonight, would you please turn and shake hands with three people and smile and say, neighbor, may God bless you tonight. Then be seated. Tonight, I would like to invite your attention to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. I am preaching a special message tonight on demon possession. And if you have ever been reverent in your life, be reverent now. But this is the night I always ask God in a special manner to protect me, for I am invading the demon world by the Spirit and the Gospel of Jesus of Nazareth, and I always implore him to stand by me. I'm reading now from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when Jesus was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, torment me not." For Jesus said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine or hogs feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000. There were at least 2,000 demons in this one man. And the swine were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city. And they went out to see what was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And now for the message on demon possession. There are millions of strange personalities loose in this universe. They are not new. They are as old. In fact, they are older than man is. They are the same demons that Christ had to deal with in his ministry 2,000 years ago. The same demons that the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, the other apostles, and the early Christians had to deal with in their time. They're the same demons which have been here ever since Lucifer, who is now the devil, and who was once an archangel, was cast out of heaven with the one-third of angels which had been under his control. These beings being disfranchised, cast out of the heavenly world, lost their celestial bodies. And the Bible now describes them as wandering stars reserved in chains of darkness. And Jesus said in the 12th chapter of Matthew that they're seeking human embodiment. He said when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, that the unclean spirit walks through dry places, through uninhabited regions where man is not. And there he finds no rest. So he gets seven other demons, more wicked than himself, which shows that there are different degrees of wickedness among demons. He returns to the house from whence he was cast out, and they overpower the person, re-entering, and the last state of that person is worse than the first. Now, there are many types of unclean demons, the demon of sadism, the lying demon, the stealing demon. There are people who are possessed with a lying spirit. They cannot tell the truth. It is impossible until the demon is cast out. And that's the description of the communist world and of the leaders of the communist world. They are demon-possessed. They are filled with many unclean spirits, and they cannot tell the truth. They lie because it is the nature of the demon in them to lie. And the demon has transferred his nature to them. And then there is no negotiating with communism. There is no discussing anything with communism. They do not recognize the truth. They wouldn't know it if they saw it. There's only one power that will deliver anybody from communism or the threat of it. And that is the power of the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And when this country gets Christ in their souls and the power of God in their lives, then we will have a defense against communism. When Christ is in the human being, the demon cannot enter because he cannot cross the bloodline. When Christ was upon the earth, he had absolute mastery over demons. They knew him. They screamed out in his presence. And when he spoke, they came out. Glory to his name. And when we have Christ, we have power over demons. We are free from demons. And no demon can enter a true child of God. If you believe it, say amen tonight. Now, I come to that moment when I give you perhaps the greatest drama in the Bible. Go back with me tonight to the ancient Sea of Galilee and to that old country of Gadara. There was a fierce and untamed man whose name was Legion, who lived in the valley of the tombs. He would break chains as though they were twine strings. And once Jesus said, I am going to Gadara. When he got into the ship, a storm rose, and the devil tried to destroy him and his little company. But before his departure, he said, let us go over. And that meant they couldn't go under. And so when they got to the other side and stepped out on the shore, suddenly they were startled by the cry of something, whether man or beast, it was hard to tell. and they looked up on the brow of the hill, and there appeared a huge, hairy, ferocious man, naked from head to toe, screaming and yelling and foaming at the mouth, his words carried by the winds. And he screamed, "Jesus, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, I know thee who thou art, thou Holy Son of God. I adjure thee by God, torment me not." And the voice of Jesus rose with compelling majesty. And he said, "What is thy name?" And back came the answer, "Legion, for we are many." The disciples shrank in fear, but Jesus never even shifted his position. And suddenly the man rose up to his full height and shook his shaggy body and came racing down the hillside. And like an animal at bay, he began to circle that little group of disciples, in the middle of which was Jesus the Nazarene. And then with foaming mouth and clawing hands, he rushed up to tear Christ limb from limb. When Jesus lifted that quiet, compelling voice again and looked at him and said, "Come out, thou unclean spirit, come out." The man's body twisted fearfully, and all of a sudden, the demon screamed, "Jesus, Jesus, let us enter into those swine, into those hogs feeding over there." Jesus said, "You have my leave." And the demons began to tear him. And as they tore him, he leaped toward Jesus to rip him limb from limb. And the Lord stretched out his hand and said, "Peace, peace." And suddenly the man's body stopped twisting and convulsing. The fires of insanity died in his eyes. He sank to his knees and then slumped to the ground. And Jesus reached down and picked him up and said, "Son, be thou restored." And he said, "Master, Master, you have cast the demons out. Would you let me go with you wherever you go?" And the master said, "No, son, you go home. And you tell your friends what great things the Lord hath done for thee." And the man saluted and turned and fled. Mrs. Legion and her children received the news. And she screamed, "Children, children, come quick. Your father's loose. He's in town. Hurry." And little children left their play and ran screaming to their mother and threw their arms around her legs. They were scared. The mother and the children bore in their bodies the marks of his inhuman treatment when he was home before. And they were deathly afraid of him. How many can say that today? And she heard him coming. When he turned the corner, he was singing. And she said, "Children, Legion, Legion is singing. Oh, he has on clothes. He's dressed. Children, something has happened to your father. I'll say something has happened to him." And when he got up near, she didn't know whether to run to him or to run from him. And she stood still, not daring to move. And he came on up. He said, "Look, put your hand on my cheek. Don't be afraid. I'm all right, I tell you. Put your hand on my cheek." And she put her hand out on his cheek and said, "Now look into my eyes." And she looked. And she cried, "Legion, the demons are gone. Legion, Legion, you're normal." He said, "Yes, yes, they're gone and I'm normal." Then she fingers, "Where'd you get them, Legion? Where'd you get the clothes?" He said, "Peter gave them to me." She said, "Peter? Yes, Peter. You mean Peter who was with Jesus? Yes. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus?" "Oh, do I know him? Oh, Legion, how many nights and days I have prayed to God to send Jesus of Nazareth to you. Legion, Legion, do you mean you saw him?" "Oh, yes, honey, I saw him. And, honey, when I saw him, I saw the Master. And he mastered me." This is deliverance. Bible deliverance. This is what Jesus can do for people in our time. Let every head be bowed. I want every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl who believes in my prayers tonight, and you want my prayers, that you may be saved from your sins, that you might be forgiven by God from all your sins and restored to the Lord, and you want me to pray for you tonight, take the first step in his name, please, right now, and raise up your right hand quickly. Raise your hands up high, please. Up high with them. Up high with them so I can see you. Many, many, many hands. That's wonderful. Take them down. Now take the second step and obey the Lord. Do as I tell you, and I can help you. I want every man and woman, every boy and girl, without exception tonight, who raised your hand for me to pray for your soul, please take the second step, his name right now, and stand on your feet for my prayer. Many, many, many people are standing, and there are others who should stand tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Others, please. Others, please. I'm so glad that you are standing. I'll tell you why. This is God's night to save you. We have a place in front of me here at the platform where you may come up and stand. I'm going to pray for your soul and help you back to God. Do not sit back down, but come down the aisles right now and stand before me for prayer. Come on. Each of you standing in front of me, raise up your right hand. Repeat after me this prayer, the prayer of a sinner. O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save my soul from all sin. Make me thy child, that I may live for thee forever. I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Amen. If you meant that, say amen. There's one more step. I want you to go out to the prayer tent, get down on your knees and pray tonight till you know the Lord has saved you. That's the greatest miracle of all. I will not pray for the sick till you come back. So please turn to the right, go to the prayer tent, and pray till you know the Lord has saved you. Please go now. Audience, remain reverent and seated. The healing service will start in a few moments when they return. Sing now. What can wash away? Nothing. Now, I'm going to pray for the sick, for people who believe that God can heal them. God is the healer. I am not. Oral Roberts can't heal, but God can. We believe in medical science, but we believe in what no man can do that our Heavenly Father can do. These people have come here from all walks of life to be healed, and I'm going to pray for them. So while I pray for them, if you'll believe right there in your home, God will heal you too. That goes for you people here in the great tent. If you believe, God will set you free. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
This young man has come all the way down here from Canada. He believes in God's healing power. He wouldn't be here tonight. Now, John, no man can heal. Only God can do that. And God uses me. I'm one of his instruments to bring healing to people in Jesus' name. Oh, God, heal the muscles in his body. Restore them tonight. You're able to do it. Heal him, Jesus. Put muscle back in the flesh. Oh, God, heal him. Heal his shoulders and put flesh on his shoulders. He's just skin and bones on those shoulders. Put your hands right down by your side, John. Now move them like I'm moving mine. In Jesus' name. Every time you move them in Christ's name, you'll move them better. That's right. Just keep on. They've got to come up. A little more, John. That's right. Stick them right straight out in front of you now. That's good. That's good. The Lord's with you, John. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you, John. That's snapping. That was good, John. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. Let that arm be perfectly loose and normal. Now move your shoulders like I'm moving mine, John. Reach out and shake my hand. Good, good, good. John, you're on your way, boy. How you feel? You feel better. That's good. God did that for you. Go, son, and love God tonight. Mrs., what's your name? Mrs. Dumeyer of Akron, of the Methodist Church. And you have a goiter. It's quite large, too, isn't it? It was operated on 25 years ago, but there it is, hard and lumpy. You believe God can heal that goiter tonight? Sure you do. Audience, put your hand on the back of the chair as a point of contact, as though your hand were upon this woman, and let's pray to God to heal her body. Jesus, take this garter from her neck tonight. Thou lump on her neck, I speak in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whose I am and whom I serve. Loose! Oh, sister, it's coming off of you. Glory to God. Put your hand on your neck. Put your hand on your neck. Feel the loose flesh. Yes. Raise your hand. Give God thanks for that tonight. Oh, that's wonderful. This is Phil Hayden of Kent, Ohio, of the Calvary Temple. His right ear is 80% deaf. He's 38 years old. Oh, God, open his right ear. I earnestly entreat thee in Jesus' name. Heal the deaf ear. Heal it. What do you mean, yes, sir?
I heard it open.
You heard it open. How did you hear it open?
It snapped just like that.
Snapped just like that?
Absolutely.
How long has your ear been closed?
Since I was 5 years old.
Since you were five? And how long ago was that, Phil?
Well, that'll be 33 years.
33 years. And you heard it snap open?
I sure did. Just like a cork pop.
Just like a cork popping.
And I never drank champagne. Thank God.
All right. Face the crowd. And I want you to close up the ear that was already normal. And if your ear is healed, you can hear a normal voice. Say, I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
With all my heart.
With all my heart.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God.
I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In Christ's name.
In Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Bill, can you tell me how you feel?
Well, I feel good. Never felt better in my life.
How long you been saved, Phil?
Well, I'll be 3 years old in 28th of October this year.
3 years old in the Lord.
That's right.
And you've been wanting God to heal that ear.
I certainly have.
And now it's open for the glory of God. What do you intend to do now? You intend to testify for what God
certainly.
Does?
Certainly.
Well, all right.
Everybody
all right.
will hear about this.
Everybody will hear about this. May somebody get saved when they hear about it. Here's a little boy who wants his eyesight healed and restored. Little Stephen Scrooby of Sarasota, Florida. They attend the Assembly of God Church. Is this your son, sir? And you want him healed. Well, now, Stephen, you're just crying up a storm, aren't you? He really has faith in God tonight. Jesus, heal those little eyes and let him see normally. Restore his vision. Oh, God, take the partial blindness. Son, I didn't mean to hurt you, but God's spirit came in my hand then. Open your eyes, son. Open your eyes. Open your eyes, hon. Keep them open. Stephen, keep your eyes open, honey. Look out here. Tell me how many fingers you see. Two. How many you see now? One. Brother Gardner, hold up some fingers. How many, son? Four's right. Let me have this microphone. Now I want the next man to hold up some fingers.
Four's
right. All right. Brother Gardner, hold up some... How many is that? Two is right. Let's see out here in the audience. Here. I want this usher here. Here, son. Over here to your right. How many fingers is that man holding up?
Four
is right. Four is right, son. That's wonderful. Jesus, may it be perfect. May his sight be perfectly restored.
Yep.
Now,
his father said he was unable to read the headline of the newspaper a few feet away.
You are his father, and what did you say about his sight?
He was unable to read a newspaper 6 feet away, the headlines.
Even the large headlines.
Headlines.
Open your eyes now, son. How do your eyes feel now?
They feel healed for the glory of God.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Wonderful. Raise your hands. Give God thanks for that tonight. People in this audience, you can get healed tonight. You can get healed there in your chair. Raise your hand. Ask God to heal you. He's able to do it. You friends who are sitting there in your home, through the miracle of television, you have been in our great 10th cathedral here in Akron, Ohio. You've heard the sermon, You've seen the healing line. You've seen this great crowd rejoicing, many of them being healed and saved by the power of God. If you were here, you could go in the line, but you're not. But God can heal you there in your home. Do you believe that? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did for people back there, he's doing for people today. And he raised me up and sent me to pray for people. Now, will you believe? Now, if you want to be healed, put your hands on your body. Doesn't matter where you put them on your body. Just put them on your body as a point of contact. And I want to reach out my hand tonight as a point of contact because God has made my right hand my point of contact. Are you ready? And now, Father, hear my prayer tonight, for I come to thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let your healing virtue fill this room and heal every person in it. Heal the old and heal the young. Heal each one of them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. My brother, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I command your afflictions to come out of your body. Thou tormenting afflictions, loose him. Come out of him. Loose him today. Come out of him in Jesus' name. Be made whole from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And now, my sister, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I command your afflictions to come out of your body. For I speak in his name. Thou tormenting afflictions, come out of her, loose her, and let her go free. In the name of Jesus, amen. Put your hands on your little child. Lord, heal this little child. Put your hands on it. Heal it from the crown of its head to the soles of its feet. Make it whole. Heal those little crippled limbs, those little deaf ears, of blind eyes. Heal it through and through and make it whole. And now, friend, raise your hands and praise him. Don't be ashamed. Lift your hands and praise him. Everybody here tonight, you people there in your home, put your hands up and praise him. Let his healing virtue come into your heart and into your body, because God is there to set you free.
Was really here tonight. You know, friends, we really love this big tent. It's not just a tent to us. It's a cathedral where God is, where he comes down and heals people and saves people like you saw here tonight. We take this big tent to different places over this nation many times a year in these campaigns. But my ministry is not confined just to the tent. Thousands of people write me every week for prayer, and I pray for them. And God heals many of them. Many of these people write me their testimonies, and I publish them. I publish them in our magazine. The title of our magazine is America's Healing Magazine. Several hundred thousand people read it each month. The middle spread is devoted completely to the testimonies of these people. Here are their pictures, their testimonies, their names and addresses. Would you like to have a copy of it? If you'll just write me, I'll be happy to send you a copy free and postpaid. Just write me, Oral Roberts, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And friends, in order to continue my ministry on television where I can help many more people, I need your cooperation with your prayers and your letters. Will you write me tonight? Write me, Oral Roberts, Tulsa, Oklahoma, tonight. Good night, and God bless you.
Okay, hello. Let me get things back in order here. And in a moment, I'll have them back in order. All right. So, I'd like to get some prayer now about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And here we go. Hello, Sister Sharon.
Yes, Chaplain John. Okay. You want me to go ahead and pray?
Any comment you have?
Okay, well, I really enjoyed listening to that video. Listening to Oral Roberts reminds me of listening to my grandfather preach.
Amen.
I really enjoy it a lot. So I just want to say thank you, dear Father. Thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for Chaplain John picking out this small preaching and teaching from Oral Roberts that we could all listen to and enjoy. And so, dear Father, you know, he sent a very precise message that We need to tell others about you. We need to know about you. And he is very happy that he is able to tell people about you, and he wants us to do the same. And you want us to do the same. Chaplain John wants us to do the same, to be out here teaching and preaching and telling people what we know about you, dear Father God, and not to be afraid while we're doing it. It's okay to be a little afraid. It is, because we're talking to people we don't know. But to overcome this fear is faith over fear. And that's what we have to remember. And we're going to get that wonderful outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're going to get blessed by feeling that outpouring, and that hopefully we'll get that big, big, huge revival going right before you come, dear Father God, because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for you to come to take us home to heaven, and we all want that, dear Father. But we have to be busily praying. We need to pray for other people. We need to ask people if they need prayer. If they seem to act like it, ask them. Ask, and we might be surprised at what we find out. But it's just so very, very important that we do this, and that we get the outpouring of that Holy Spirit all across the country and all around the world. So wonderful. And I just feel so good when I'm able to look at the pictures of the ladies over there with Pastor Zephaniah and those bright, beautiful colors and stuff as they are going out and about and talking about you, your Father God. And what an awesome pictures that those are over there. And I thank you for that. And for the children with their hands raised up in the air, wanting to hear about you and to praise you. It's also an awesome outpouring coming down upon these children. And they might be too young to realize it, but that's what's happening. So, dear Father God, I just want to pray to you every chance I get. I want to hear about you every chance I get. And again, I want to thank Captain John for picking out this Oral Roberts video for us to watch. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
Okay. And very good. I'm glad you were blessed. I think anything, but I marvel between the Oral Roberts I was exposed to when he was older and the Oral Roberts there in the 50s and I guess the 60s. I mean, wow,
we were like a babies when he was really getting going.
Yes.
Born in 55. So, you know, I know what you're talking about. It's a big difference.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Sister Sharon. Okay, Gigi and Randy.
Yes. Okay. I think that was my favorite film from Oral Roberts. I mean, they're good, but I don't know. There's something really special about that one.
Okay. Yeah.
So thank you.
All right. And we're going to pray in a couple minutes here. Paula Jean.
Okay. Do you want me to? Okay.
I'll get back to you. Paula Jean.
Yes. I thought that I just really loved the way he brought to life the story of the man, Legion, okay? And he just made it so vivid for the people as they were listening as to how it might have looked at that time. And I think that when you're inspired to be able to do that, that is a special gifting. And it means that, you know, the story and the information has become so real to you that you're very comfortable acting it out with the description being as graphic as he did and bringing his audience right into the information as it's being conveyed. so that they can have the same enthusiasm he has about what took place at that time. And because he took me right there, you know, and it's like I just really value a person's ability to do that, because you remember what you've heard when you also see it, you know, the visual along with the audio.
Okay.
And if you read it. So it was very, very inspiring. I just noticed the difference of that ability that he had to do that for the people who were receiving the information. And the healing, of course, is spectacular. And I think you had mentioned something about the ability to bring healing through the words as opposed to the gift of healing that some people have. And so I don't know. I would imagine his is a gift of healing. But my prayer is that each and every child of God, when he calls on them to loose healing for someone, that he'll just equip them in that moment to be able to do that, because he's there guiding them. And I don't know, I haven't really, you know, studied that, but I think it would be his heart. I just think so.
All right. And Sister Kathy, thank you. Paul Jean. Sister Kathy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was great too. And I just think it's so genuine that he got affidavit signed to start with, that he was declaring that everything was factual and on the up and up. Anybody that wanted to argue would have to go straight to that. And it was dynamic, and I just really love the old-time religion.
Yeah. Give me that old-time religion. All right. All right. Let me lead in prayer. Father, I thank you for tonight, Lord. I thank you that old-time religion, Lord, didn't lose. It's here. It's still here, Lord. Never left. So, Lord, we're looking for the nation a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that was going to sweep the nation, Lord. And, Lord, I'm getting more and more reports back about the college campuses all over the country, Lord. There's a mighty move of you. And it's like the way it started, 60 years ago, Lord, or so. College campuses. You reach the young people, Lord. And that ended up permeating the whole country. It changed the whole face of America, Lord. That's what we want again. You being glorified, people glorifying your name, Lord. Chains of religion and dryness and powerlessness broken. A great, great Lord. Right now we're in like a prairie fire. Lord, we're asking for that roaring, roaring forest fire, Lord, of the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Lord, we want to repent. Lord, we need to repent for each of us individually, Lord. And then we got to repent for the nation. And Lord, our nation is permeated with wickedness, Lord, on all levels. Pure wickedness, Lord. And we repent for it. You would have consumed us already, Lord. But you haven't consumed us, because you have worked for us. There's another great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, all of this stuff, the killing of the babies, Lord, what will really dry it up, Lord, will be this great outpouring where people aren't led into sin, Lord, because they've repented of sin, and the power, your resurrection power, is flowing through them, Lord, and they've been set free, and they don't live that life that leads to abortion, Lord. And then, Lord, all the immorality, Lord, there is all sorts of stuff out there, Lord, like prostitution and pornography, Lord, I guess are the two big ones there, like that. And that'll dry up also, Lord. that sin, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will put the sin to death, Lord. Thank you. And then all the drugs, Lord, the hallucinogenic drugs, the drugs that are so addictive, people are addicted to the drugs, Lord. I'm asking that you, and Lord, it's even like, quote, legal drugs they can get harshly addicted to. So, Lord, I'm asking in your resurrection power, you will go through people's lives, Lord, as they come to you and burn that drug addiction right out of them, Lord. Free them. Your resurrection power is infinitely more powerful than any drug, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And I pray that the drug industry will dry up here, Lord. It'll dry up to just handfuls, Lord. Thank you. And you being glorified, Lord. People giving you the glory how they were delivered from drugs, Lord. People giving you the glory how they were delivered from sin, Lord, like causes abortions. Thank you. We praise you and thank you. And then, Lord, we're asking that people be delivered from crime, Lord. And there's so much crime now. Especially in the cities, Lord. So many come to you and they're delivered. Excuse me. Almost a sneeze. Well, I think it'll come back in a few minutes. But Lord, just sweeping through the cities, Lord, and delivering people of all, you name the crime, Lord, up to murder, up until, we pray that murdering spirits will be taken out of people, Lord. Violence will be taken out of people. Great peace will come upon them through this mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, I know when we get into politics, Lord, the Republican Party is loaded with sin. Who knows what's going on behind the scenes, Lord, that we can't see? Bribery and extortion and all sorts of money laundering and all of that, Lord. But, Lord, I pray that you work in there, Lord, to break all that corruption out of the Republican Party. Lord, when I look at the Democrat Party, it is directly from hell, Lord. I see nothing redeemable in it, Lord. They're insane in their desire to kill babies, Lord. Lord, they have that's a murdering spirit. Now, Lord, we see the way they reacted to Charlie Kirk's death, Lord. And Lord, we see, Lord, how they want evil. They want evil, Lord, in their city. It's virtuous, Lord, to them to keep illegal aliens that have committed all sorts of crimes, to keep them from being deported or being put in jail. It's virtuous to them. So they hate America, Lord, and we can see the way it's manifesting in them. Lord, I'm praying that this great revival that we're in the early stages of will destroy that party, Lord. That so many are coming to you, they're going to abandon it, Lord, or they won't vote at all. But that party, I'm asking you would crush it, Lord. It's against you. Anything that's righteous, they mock. They hate Christians, Lord. They literally hate us because we represent you. We follow you. We believe your word. So, Lord, work mightily, Lord, to maybe just destroy it by so many people abandoning it. It collapses of its own corruption, its own corruption. It is wicked, Lord. I think it's worse than Islam. Islam will bottom out, Lord, in a bad way. It'll bottom out. But there appears to be no bottom with this, Lord. And the worse they get, the better they like it. So, Lord, as you're sending this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we repent of the Democrat Party, Lord. And, Lord, that the revival would be so great, it would put this party to death, Lord, and all the corruption with it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And, Lord, we're also and praying for righteousness in the Republican Party. Because, Lord, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes with the Republicans, dude. There can be, their corruption is more like bribes and extortion and things like that, Lord. That seems to be their soft spot with corruption. And Lord, ferret that out also. We praise you and thank you, Lord. So that revival from the Atlantic to the Pacific, Lord, and surging all the ways up into Canada. Lord, Canada needs your outpouring. It's desperate. That it's desperately wicked, Lord, the government. I'm sure there are many, many wonderful people in Canada, but Lord, that government is really bad, Lord. Lord, send the great outpouring down into Mexico, Lord, all the ways down into Central America, down to South America, Lord. Multitudes coming to you. Multitudes, Lord. Spreading, Lord, all over. And Lord, I ask for, especially where we minister, India, Lord, Sri Lanka, Nepal, Pakistan, Lord, all that East African countries, and there's Nigeria and Belgium, Lord, not Belgium, the Congo, Rwanda, Uganda, South Sudan, Kenya, Tanzania, Lord, Malawi. I'm asking for a special move in there, Lord. And Lord, also in places like Cuba, Lord, we minister in Cuba and in Puerto Rico, Lord, and a lot in Mexico, and Honduras, Lord, El Salvador, those countries there, forget them all, Lord. But we want a mighty move of your spirit, Lord. And thank you that the Broken Hearted brochure, that's the key one, Lord. That Broken Hearted brochure, so many have gone out, Lord. So many souls have come to you and had their hearts healed, Lord. And we want it to continue till the rapture, Lord. And maybe even after the rapture, Lord, they can lay around and people can pick them up and read them and get saved and their hearts healed. So thank you, Lord. We can't thank you enough now. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. All right. I'm looking at the time, and what I want to do is play Joel Kramer, and then when that's over, we'll go back and everybody can have a round of praying. Remember, we want to focus on the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit on this show. And I'm really, we need that anointing of Oral Roberts, like now and then. We need it. It's so encouraging. It's so real, like. All right, let's go over and get a look at, where did it go? There it is. All right, let me get this over so everybody can see it. It's titled, The Mount of Olives, Ascension and Return of Jesus Christ. And that's real. That one, immediately when I saw that, that's the one for tonight. That's the first time I saw a heading like that. All right, here we go.
Okay, come on over here and we're going to talk about this place. Now, I would say out of the four Constantinian churches, this one probably is the least preserved. But you see some of the stones around over here, the base stones, most of what you see here is Crusader period. Okay, but you see some of the foundation stones, and when the excavation took place, the foundations and the trench down in the bedrock were found, so we know what shape this church was. So if you go to page 118 and 119, we'll talk about this. Okay, so I got that red arrow there showing where we are right now. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So this whole ridge line that you see in the picture is the Mount of Olives. And then that red arrow points to where we are. Now, why is that the significant place? If you go to the next page, in the first column, about halfway down, I'm going to read Matthew 24:3. You see that? As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" So you've heard of the Olivet Discourse. That happened right here. Now, another thing is turn over to the next page. And that paragraph, in the bottom paragraph in the first column, has Mark 13:3. Let's read that. This is just, we just read Matthew. This is Mark. Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. So this gives us more information about where it happened. Yeah. It's opposite. It's on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. So now, let's see. Which one shows it? Well, you can see on this one. Oh, let's do the double. See the double wide on the whatever page the double wide is on. It's on 124, 125. Okay. By the way, it's very scary taking aerial photographs like this close to the Temple Mount. Okay, so this is where I'm pointing, is where we're standing. Okay. So that's where we're standing, and here's where the temple is. So does this match that description of being opposite the temple? Yes. You can see on page 123 another depiction of Eleona Church, where we're standing is the arrow on the left, and then where the temple stood. Or there's another depiction on 122 at the bottom. In fact, that's a really clear one. See that? Well, why am I showing you this? You got it right in front of me. I'm so used to going like this, you know. Okay, so this is where the Olivet Discourse took place. Now, if you go to page 118, this is also well known, the Mount of Olives from the Old Testament. And so we can read Zechariah here. It says, "Then Yahweh will go out and fight against those nations as he fights on a day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will split in two from east to west, forming a great valley with half the mountain moving north and half moving south." Okay. Now, we used to not know where exactly the Mount of Olives was going to split. But then they built BYU Jerusalem right here. That's totally a joke. Okay, but think about that. Zechariah, think about the expectation for this place. Yeah. Obviously, this hasn't happened yet, right?
Yeah,
on the second coming.
On the second coming, obviously, yeah. So this is talking about Jesus' return.
Mm-hmm.
So they're expecting the Messiah to come to this mountain. Now, of course, you know, the Israelites and the Jews didn't totally have that understood, which is understandable, of the first and the second coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so forth, but that expectation is there, which is another reason so many Jews and Christians are buried on this mountain. You can see on page 119 a picture of the excavations that were done here by Vincent. And then over on the next, on 121, you see a reconstruction based on the foundations that were found here of what the church looked like. So we're talking, put the apse and face the apse that way. And that's the apse right there where people are going underneath. Again, there's not very much preserved from it, only the foundations, most of which you can't see right now. And you can see where I'm drawing an arrow, where I'm drawing a line across, you know, with an aerial shot straight down on our position here and where the apse is. You can even see in the apse under there. Okay. So let's go ahead and walk under there and look at it, and then I want to walk out to another.
Good.
Okay, come on down. So here I'm standing in the apse that is facing to the east.
I trust you.
Or trust the church.
I trust the church.
Okay, so we're... So we're standing in the apse of the church, the Constantinian church, to commemorate where Jesus taught his disciples, and another event that's very important. That will, we got another group coming in. I just want you to look at the apse facing east, and then we can go out this other way and go find a place where we can discuss this.
I think so.
I got turned around
in
the building.
It happens underground.
I had to see where the dome of the rock is.
Yes. And, okay, everybody notice where the dome of the rock is? That's where the temple stood. Now, as all of you are catching up to the position, I'll read the other very significant event that happened here that's being commemorated by Constantine's church. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives. Okay, so this is, let me find it. This church commemorates that. So this is Eusebius on page 122, first column. Written in AD 318, because Eusebius is an eyewitness of that church being built and what it commemorates. He says, according to the common and received account, the feet of our Lord and Savior himself, the Word of God, truly stood upon the Mount of Olives at the cave that is shown there. On the ridge of the Mount of Olives, he prayed and handed onto his disciples the mysteries of the end. And after this, he made his ascension into heaven, as Luke teaches in the Acts of the Apostles. Okay, so both the Olivet Discourse and the Ascension, and of course, we just read there in the Acts account, they're watching Jesus ascend up into heaven. Imagine that. And then the angels that are there saying, well, you know, he's going to come back to this place that he ascended, which makes sense, right, with the Zacharias scripture that we read that says that he's going to come with his army and do battle, and that the Mount of Olives is going to split in two, and that water from the Temple Mount is going to come and flow down to the Dead Sea, which we were at yesterday, and that they're going to be catching fish like they do in the Mediterranean down on the Dead Sea. That's impossible, but so is everything else in the Bible,
yeah,
that God,
right,
does, including all of us and creation, right?
Yes, amen.
So let's read some of the Olivet Discourse. But about, this is on page 123. But about that day or hour, no one knows. So this is what Jesus is teaching right here. But about that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Now listen to this, just another two paragraphs down from that is Matthew 24:14. This is one that amazes me about this place. It says there's these signs before Jesus is going to come back to this place. There's certain things that have to happen. And this one says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So before Jesus comes with his army and fulfills Zacharias and before his second coming, the gospel's got to go out to the ends of the earth. And I don't think you all know, many of you know this story, but this is really meaningful to me because years ago I wrote a book. You can get it on Amazon if you wish, but it's called Beyond Fear, A Journey Across New Guinea, where my friend and I crossed the island of New Guinea. And the very long story short, when we were with the missionaries, New Tribes missionaries, Bible translators, that we met out on our trip out on the river, and we were going into the interior, they said to us, you know, they didn't think we were going to live, but if you live, then we'd like to know what's in the Central Mountains. We are crossing the Central Mountains, the rainiest place on earth. And so long story short, it took us 56 days. We planned to cross those mountains in 14 days. It took us 56 days to cross those mountains. In the middle of those mountains, we were with locals that helped us carry, that were from missionary tribes. We came across a tribe in the middle of those mountains that were still using stone axe, still starting their fire with bamboo and a chute. And when we came across them, we came across the top of this ridge, and in the village below us, all the women, they saw us, and all the women started screaming, grabbing their children, and ran into the jungle. All the men came together in the middle of the village, got their bows strung up, and came up to us with their bows drawn. And I mean, I was, you know, anticipating, you know, that was it. Anyways, all of us ended up falling on our faces, and one of the guys that was with us, nobody could speak to anybody. Nobody spoke each other's language. The men that were with us, they didn't kill us. They put us in a place outside the village, and the people danced around a fire all night. Uh-oh. The guys that were with us took off into the jungle and left just me and my friend alone with these guys. And we were under the impression that they were going to eat us. And so this other guy came from one of their villages nearby, and he seemed to talk them down. Of course, we couldn't understand. He seemed to talk them down, and that they didn't end up killing us. And again, long story short, we finally, after 56 days, made it to the other side of the mountains. And we went, as we promised the New Tribes missionaries, that we went to their headquarters. We told them about these people. These people were called the Hewa. And so they were tall men with their hair up in cones, wrapped in snake skin and pig tusks through their face, their noses. Anyways, long story short, 16 years goes by. We don't think about it, you know, anymore about us reporting where these people are and who they are. 5 years after we did that, we didn't know about it at this time. A family that was in New Tribes Mission says, we'll go in and work with those people. They ended up putting a helicopter thing in to get into these people. And now they've been working with those people, I believe, somewhere in the neighborhood of 16 years.
Whoa.
The guy who saved our tail ends is the evangelist for those people. And we finally communicated with him after almost 20 years later. We finally got a communication from him, and guess what he said? Yeah, they were going to kill you.
Oh, man.
No. Now, about half of that tribe, who had never seen a white person, who were still using stone tools, are Christians.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Not because of Aaron and I. We're just idiots, you know, getting ourselves into an ignorant situation that God's got to get us out of. But the point is that this family went in there and invested. What they must have gone through to bring them the gospel is, I'll be honest with you, I was going through that jungle praying, God, please, I'll go anywhere, but please not here, you know. And that's where that family went in, and it spent so much time. So when I stand up here on this mountain, and I know that Jesus taught that the sign would be, one of the signs would be, before his return, that the gospel would go out to the ends of the earth, I've been in the most remote place on earth to see this most remote tribe who now have the gospel. It makes me stand here and think, man, the time is near. It feels very near to me. And so we're going to see the four places that Constantine said commemorate. This is one of them. It's a powerful place. It's the last place that Jesus touched off of,
yeah,
as he ascended to heaven, and it's the place that he's going to return. Of course, it's going to be like lightning. They're going to see him all over the place. It's going to be a world event when he comes back,
mm-hmm,
but he's going to come back, and this mountain's going to split in two.
Amen, brother. Incredible.
This page, I don't know, they're not numbered, but and that just gives you another view. Well, the page right before it is also that big spread we were looking at. So let's see, it's 123, 24, 25, 26, and 27. But it just gives you the perspective when you look at it of the elevation. That's why I put this picture in there. You see where the Dome of the Rock is in the middle, where the temple stood, and where Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac. Then you see to the left the church commemorating Golgotha and the Tomb of the Resurrection, which is actually higher. It doesn't necessarily look like that in this picture, but it's higher than the Dome of the Rock, as we saw up on the mountain ourselves when we were just looking. And then Eleona Church. And isn't it interesting? I mean, they're not in a perfect line, but they're pretty lined up,
mm-hmm,
across here. You know, all these important holy places. And of course, the highest of them is the one that we're standing on now, where Jesus ascended and where he'll return.
All right. Let me get back over to you. Oh, I didn't put a muzzle on anyone. All right, there we go with the it was interesting, that was the highest spot there and it's across from where the Lord was sitting there or standing and teaching the disciples about the prophecy, about the Romans coming and destroying the temple, and then the end times, what's going to be happening at the end times before his coming. Now, Sister Kathy, I've got to tell you something.
Okay.
I have the book handy, Where God Came Down,
yep.
And I was trying to go along with him, mm-hmm. but that must have been a different edition because the pages weren't the same. But I tried. I tried, well, Sister Kathy.
Yeah, yours is a hardback, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, those were softback, so it was a different edition.
Yeah, probably an older one. But anyways.
Yeah, that one was, because that was filmed a long time ago, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't even watch it. The videography was, it made me just, my eyes were just. But I was amazed that anything is higher than the Dome of the Rock. That
oh, yes, Sister Kathy. Oh, Mount of Olives is a couple hundred feet higher than the Dome of the Rock.
Wow. Wow.
I mentioned it's difficult to show pictures. Well, I did. I did show a picture, Sister Kathy. I'll try and get it when we're in prayer. To show you how much higher the Mount of Olives is than the Dome of the Rock, that is. So, we got a half hour, and I'd like to get some prayer in here. Sister Rita, would you like to lead us in prayer, please, about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit?
Okay, Lord, Chaplain. Father, I give you thanks for today, Father. I give you thanks for today, Father, and for taking care of me, and how you got my lawn mowed, Father, and I give you thanks, Father, and I give you thanks for the people that you have placed into my life, Father. They have been a blessing to me, and they have helped me, Father. And I didn't even have to go and ask them. They came to me. And I give you thanks for that, Father. Father, I pray, wait just a minute. I pray, Father, I pray for America, Father. I pray that you would, forgive, heal, and have mercy on America, Father. I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America, Father. And I pray, Father, that you would forgive us, Father, for legalizing abortion and pornography and legalizing homosexual marriages, Father. And Father, I pray that for the people that are trapped in these sinful lifestyles, Father, that they will repent and come to the saving knowledge of your Son. And Father, I pray that you will stop the movement of Islam across America. And I pray for each and every Muslim in our country, Father. I pray that you'll convict their hearts and that you'll open up their eyes to the fallacy of Islam, and that they will come to the saving knowledge of your Son. And Father, I pray for Israel. I ask, Father, that you would put a hedge of protection around her and give her peace, Father. And I pray, Father, for every single Jew in Israel, that they will repent from their wicked lifestyles and come to the saving knowledge of your Son. I pray, Father, for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel, Father. And also, Father, I pray for every single, what am I trying to say? I pray for all the churches in all the Father fellowship, Father. And I ask, Father, that you will, I pray for every single church in the Abba Father Fellowship. I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in each and every church, Father. Bless the pastors in these churches and bless the people in these churches, Father. And I also ask, Father, that you would provide food, water, clothing, shelter for these poor churches. And Father, I also pray for Chaplain John that you would encourage, comfort, and strengthen Chaplain John, Father, and guide him and direct him in all of his preparation for his teachings. And I also pray that you would bless the new brochures that he is working on. And I also ask, Father, that you would bless and anoint all his brochures that he still has, and those that have gone out. And that I pray that many souls will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, and many hearts would be healed, Father. And I pray, Father, for everyone that is online tonight, I pray that you strengthen and encourage each and every one of us, Father. And I pray that if anyone has a broken heart, Father, that you will heal them. For I pray this all, Father, in the holy and glorious name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, thank you. Thank you, Sister Rita. Sister Kathy, are you looking at the screen? Whoops, I have you muted. Let me unmute you. Yeah, Sister Kathy, you're looking at the screen.
Yeah, I am. Is Mount of Olives in Jerusalem? Is it considered Jerusalem?
Okay. Yes.
All right. Yeah. Okay, because I know when it said go up to Jerusalem, I was thinking, somehow I was thinking the Mount of Olives was just the highest point, but I meant the Dome of the Rock, but boy, was I wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, this is the very best picture I've ever seen to show that elevation difference.
Yeah.
And I tried to purchase it, and I couldn't. I couldn't locate it. It's got numbers on it and everything with Alamy. But anyways, I wanted to point out a couple things while we're looking at it. Now, of course, you see the Dome of the Rock,
right,
with the arrow, the red arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to look to the left and go back, and you'll see a much smaller golden dome.
Yeah.
That's
like there where the green trees are?
Yeah, that's Gethsemane.
Oh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you look straight up at the end of that red arrow. In fact, you look at where the blue arrow is pointing, and you'll see that tower.
Right.
That's where they were. That's where Joel was standing. Yeah.
Hmm. And what's that tower called?
I don't know. That's where they believe the Lord ascended into heaven.
Amazing.
So, now, you go to your right, and you'll see like a, almost like a tannish color, an off-white color. Those, you see it?
Well, I mean, tannish color what?
The ground is all tannish color.
Yeah, it's like rocks.
That's graves. That's old graves.
And oh my goodness!
And people wanted to be buried there so that they would be the first resurrected.
My goodness!
Now the Mount of Olives is going to split right about. I think it's a little bit further to your right, which would be the south. The reason I'm saying that is the geologists have found a fault there. And it's probably the natural place for it to break. So it will be to your right there. Now, if you keep going, that's where Aza, is that what it was? The Jews that are alive are all going to run to the right there, and that's where they're going to hide, because the Lord is going to manifest his glory and the flesh is going to melt off all those people.
Mm.
All right, so there you go.
With the brightness of his coming?
Yes, yes.
Mm. Wow, that's amazing.
So, but you can see how much higher the Mount of Olives is.
Oh, yeah, it's tremendous. Well, how about, did you find out how wide the split would likely be?
No, I had it mistaken. I had it mistaken. It's how big the, I ran two together, Sister Kathy. It's how big or how far the plateau is going to be to build Jerusalem. Because right where you're looking now,
mm-hmm.
that's where the city will be when the Lord returns and builds and sets up his kingdom. However, the throne there, the temple, will not be within Jerusalem like it is now. It's going to be to your left. Your left is north. And there's going to be quite a bit of area that's going to be strictly for the temple and the grounds, much bigger than it is right now, much, much bigger. So the Jerusalem, when the Lord has returned, won't look like this at all. It's going to be a high plateau. And I'll show you that from the scriptures next Tuesday. And then to the south is going to be a city, something like this. I don't know how it will be designed, but it'll be a city. And then to the north, there'll be a separation. And then on the other side of the separation is going to be the Lord's house, his temple. Can you picture that?
I can.
Yeah.
And we'll see it.
Yeah. We're going to be
there,
ruling and reigning with him.
Yeah. Amazing.
Okay. Now that's one of my favorite pictures. And I have tried and tried. I have my own pictures when I was in Israel, and I tried and tried and tried. Could not get, this is the only picture I could find where you get that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it must be because they're up in the air. If you take them at like ground level, it just doesn't show. You can't
right.
see it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm happy now, Sister Kathy.
Thank you. I'm happy too.
Okay. Would you lead us in prayer, please, about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. Father, I just thank you so much for how many outpourings there have been. Lord, I was just reading about one in 1827 and 37 in Georgia, and just amazing, just totally amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to have absolute awakening coming to America, and it's going to be soon. And we thank you that it will usher in the soon return of our Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ, to the very ground where Chaplain John is showing now and Joel was walking on to in the video today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the promises that are yes and amen. Thank you that you know, and we have absolute validation that these things are going to take place. And so we're just so confident and assured that you're watching over your word and you're performing it and you're going to see how it's going to be fulfilled. So thank you. Thank you for everybody here tonight. Thank you for everybody that's praying in the intent, desire to see this come to pass. And Lord, we just love you. Bless Chaplain John. Bless the Five-Fold Ministry tomorrow. Just bless this mighty move of God. I pray that there will still be the resurgence of people in church. It'll be the solid straight time since Charlie Kirk's been dead that churches are filled to overflowing for all services if it holds up, and we just believe it will. So thank you, Spirit of the Living God, and we just love you with all our heart, mind, soul, spirit, and our neighbor as ourself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Gigi and Randy.
Yes. Okay. Did you want me to pray?
The great outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to mention, and I'm going to pray about this, but I was reading an article that so many of these, especially these young men that are coming to Christ through Turning Point, that so many of them are joining the Catholic Church and I can't remember, is it Episcopal Church or just Reformed churches in general? So I want to pray because that's not good. That's not good. So I'm going to pray for that too. Okay.
Yes, we can discuss that. It's very serious.
Okay. Yeah, it's really serious. And like I said, there's still people talking about being traumatized, having been there and or having watched it. So I'm not listening to all of it, but it's, you know, coming up on my feed. And then I click it and I look at it and I realize, okay, it's the same. This is the same story and it's different people. So I'm just really concerned that like the enemy is trying to sideline, you know, what God is doing and what God does. So I'm going to also pray for that. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Lord Jesus, first of all, how much could we ever praise you and thank you for the salvation that you have offered to all of mankind all over this world. And we are grateful, grateful, grateful for the witness, the history of real bona fide Holy Spirit outpourings and revival. And Lord, we know that those are always preceded by repentance, that people are convicted of their sin. And we're living in such a time, Lord, where you know this, sin is just rampant. It's really rampant. And they love it. And we know that that is predicted in the scriptures, but we're praying for mercy, Lord. We don't want to see an outpouring and revival in any place that it's taking place, here or overseas. And we don't want to see that sidelined by the enemy so that it's not really what you intended. And so, Lord, we're just praying for mercy. Mercy on all of the outpourings and the revivals and people going to church, that they would seek the one true God in his one true faith and with the right representative of the entire council of the Word of God. And we know that there are denominations out there that do not believe in your return. How wicked is that? They don't believe in the rapture. They don't believe in the book of Revelation. And they don't believe who the Jewish people are and that they are representative of you choosing a special people, not because they're special, but because you you chose them. And so, Lord, we're praying against all of these heresies, these sidelinings, these people preaching that are imposters. And so, Lord, we're asking you to save your remnant, and have them being taught correctly so that they will really be saved and honor you and your word and the fullness of your word, Lord. And I just want to thank you that you have done this in the past. You've done this in the past, Lord, and we know that it's possible. So we just repent for all this like bizarre stuff that has been going on in these people that have been said that they're traumatized and discouraged and upset. And so, Lord, we don't really know what's going on, but we know that the enemy always comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but that Christ has come to give us life and life abundant. And so, Lord, we're asking you to put a hedge of protection around outpourings, around revivals, around people preaching the gospel. And Lord, we know that there's imitators out there, all kinds of things. And so we're just praying that you would out those people and that your spirit will be poured out in abundance so that people will be convicted of the real truth of the Bible. And so we just want to thank you in advance, Lord. We want to pray over our country and just repent for the great, great sins that are going on. But we also want to thank you, Lord, that there are things that are moving ahead, that we are actually have a president that wants law and order. So we're praying for an outpouring on all of those staff people, on he, his family, and everyone around him, Lord, that there would be a real outpouring and that there would be so many people in the government that come to you, and that, Lord, you would rid our government of people that are not working, getting paid, or not doing what they're supposed to be doing on their jobs. They're not representing the structure. They're not representing what should really be going on. So, Lord, we thank you that you brought our nation in to your will and your ways and your word in a way no other nation has been brought in. And we're asking you, Lord, we're pleading with you that this would continue, Lord. And we know you're coming soon, and we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you that we would have an outpouring on each and every one of us that meet together, pray together, and listen to the teachings, and that you would bless John so that when he's teaching, it would potentiate an outpouring. It would potentiate more faith and faith in the trueness of your word, the trueness of your plan, Lord, and the trueness of your character. And we just pray for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. We have Paula Jean. Yes, Paula Jean.
Good evening.
Yeah, we're focusing on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. So, Heavenly Father, we know that you have promised, and I praise you that what you promise, you bring. And we are looking forward to the great coming of Jesus, but before that, the great outpouring of your Holy Spirit, the outpouring that will touch the lives of those that have been broken, those who have been deceived, those who have never heard, Father God, about your Son, who you sent, why you sent, what he's done, and what he's doing. and what he plans to do. But Father God, with your great outpouring, they're going to know who you are. And from that, they're going to want to know more. But when they experience your presence, Father, they'll also experience how much they need you and how they've been walking in error, and they haven't had the fullness of life that you alone can deliver. And you started with that as being your plan for us. And you spent all these years cleaning up the mess from the beginning. And Heavenly Father, what love, what patience, what amazing ability that you have to give us your love. Give us a caringness for others that goes beyond the kind of love that the world cultivates. And Father God, oh, how that is needed. And how I thank you when I see it being expressed and shared among people who have had the blessing of a touch from you, the blessing of having your word come to life in their walk with you. And Father God, we are awaiting with bated breath the great outpouring to go across our nation and from our nation also. And you may start at someplace else. We're praying for our nation because this is where we live. And this is actually where the other nations tend to look to. And Father God, that we're looking for that great outpouring over the world as well, because the world needs you. And your people need you. And we're praying for this outpouring to be unlike anything that we've experienced before. Grander, more encompassing, more directly connected with you personally upon each life that you touch, so that they know that you're actually blessing them and they're getting to know you and experience you. Now, if they've never heard of you, they will still know, because you have that way of giving us the information that we need right along with the blessing. We do pray that people don't die because they see your face. We know that your great outpouring is going to come in a way that is nothing less than major blessing, and may come away with bringing that which needs to be removed, taken away. What a wonderful thing that will be. Just like Legion having to go into the pigs. I have no idea what that would be an experience like across the world. But Father God, you know what it is you want to bring to us from the great outpouring. And that's one thing that most of us here know, is that whatever it is you want to bring, it's going to be the best. Because you know just what we need and what will bring the results that are in your heart for people to be able to receive. So I thank you, Father God, that you have this wonderful plan, and we're looking forward to it. And we pray that we be right there prepared to be used by you in whichever way and form you have planned for us to participate, and also to receive the blessing in its full portion, so that there'll be nothing blocking your ability to use us and enable us to bring you glory. So I thank you, Father God. That is my desire, is for you to have your way in us and through us. When that day comes,
And I thank you that we appear to be living long enough to be able to see it. And just have it come, Father God, and in the special way that will bring your heart fullness of joy. And Jesus, the bride in white, the holy bride that you want him to receive when he comes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And we have Sister Kathy. No, Sister Sharon.
Yes, Chaplain John. Yes, pray once again for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that there will be a great revival here in America, in our small cities, in our own personal homes. It'll go out to the churches and to the townships and all around our states and our countries and around the world, that the people will be able to just feel the need to pray to you and to hear from you, just like they did when Charlie Kirk was murdered and stuff. And we just pray that this feeling does continue, and people want to hear about you, want to be with you, dear Father God, and it be some more outpouring of this Holy Spirit just flowing all around us and everything. And I just, it's just a wonderful idea just to know that this is going to happen and everything. And then, dear Father God, on a personal note, I still want to ask for prayers for my two brother-in-laws, Carrie and Scott, who were in that horrific, horrific incident at the boat docks and stuff. And they are doing seemingly well and everything, for everything they've been going through. But dear Father, they are firm believers in you, and they both came to you at that hour, that second of time that they needed to know that what was going to happen happened. And you saved them, dear Father, and they were blessed by that, and we are blessed by that. And I just want to say thank you, dear Father God, for that. And we will be talking more and more about all of this as time goes by. And I just thank you for Carrie, and I thank you for Scott, and I just thank you for all of Brian's relatives that we are still finding. We're still finding siblings and stuff, and I just thank you for that, dear Father God. And it's just a joy. It's a blessing. Maybe things weren't done right when they were being thought of coming into this world, but the boys are, or the men, I should say, they're finishing up right. If they talk about you, they believe in you, they want to be with you, and they want to tell others about you. And this accident they were in is one big testimony saying they want to be with you. And I just thank you, dear Father God, for outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I pray it just rains down upon us and we can feel it. And we just want to scream and holler and yell and just rejoice of knowing that we're going to be with you. And in your name I do pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. I guess that's it. I don't think I missed anyone. Yeah. What? I'm just checking. Paula Jean. Yeah, we covered everyone. All right, Father, thank you for tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We were at the spot or near the spot where you ascended into heaven, and you're coming in like manner, and you're going to be standing there again. We know from the scriptures, Lord, that huge mountain is going to cleave. In fact, it's the break is from east-west, and then the mountains will move north-south, Lord. The mountain will split and move north-south. And we're going to be with you, Lord. We're coming as the clouds of heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for everything. Lord, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit we're asking for. We thank you, Lord. It's here. Actually, what we're asking for is the forest fire, Lord. And another thing, Lord, which in some areas now, the Catholic Church is making inroads. They're writing this, Lord. And they're writing like souls right into the Catholic Church. Lord, this is diabolical. And Lord, they're like stealing souls, Lord. They're stealing souls. The Catholic Church doesn't have the power, Lord, to do it. And what they're doing is it's like a lie. They don't preach the gospel. They preach the Catholic Church. That's what they preach. So, Lord, I'm asking now that that'll be broken. And, Lord, you know, if it means, Lord, I'm serious about this. If it means breaking up, Turning Point, break it up, Lord, so that these souls aren't deceived and led into I consider it a cult, Lord. On some levels, the Catholics can believe the truth. But, Lord, when they get up into Catholic doctrine and they get up with the priests and the bishops and the cardinals, Lord, I mean, we're getting with Mary worship. It's worshiping Mary. We're getting into Christ literally being crucified on the cross during the Mass. Lord, we're getting into what are the other things, Lord? Oh, there's so many that they believe that are just absolutely... I just can't think of them right now, but that's enough. That's enough, Lord. That's heresy. That's heresy. Christ, died every Sunday in the Mass. He dies on the cross again. Oh, transubstantiation about communion is literally his body and blood. And there's much of the Pope. There's nothing in the Bible about the Pope. That's all made up. There is no Pope in the scriptures. So, Lord, we don't want them brought into that, Lord. So we're asking that you would do what's ever necessary to keep the revival going and to squash the Catholic Church, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen.
And also, Lord, also I bring before you, if it's necessary, I'll also have a different view on this, Lord. If it's necessary, especially in the college campuses, that they do come into the Catholic Church, but really confessing you as their Savior and Lord and all, I pray that you would lead them out real quick, Lord, real quick. Before that heresy can take hold, Lord. Any of them coming in as true believers, please, Lord, lead them out real quick, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, Sister Sharon?
Yes, amen. Amen.
Yeah, we have to keep our eyes opened about that. Sister Gigi?
Yes.
I want to.
But I also wanted to say, we just watched a short amount of somebody on TVUSA, and the guy was espousing Augustine, who's a total heretic.
That's enough. That's not enough. Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing is that we didn't realize it, but there's, I looked him up, and they have two gay guys on their payroll to go out and get the vote. And there's other stuff going on in the background. We just decided not to look anymore. We weren't actually looking on purpose at all. And it just popped up. So if you could please pray about that, because there's something wrong.
I just did.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not just that. They're promoting the Reformation.
Promoting the Reformation.
Yeah, you know, so that they don't believe in the literal translations of the scripture. They follow Calvin, all that kind of stuff.
Follow Calvin?
Yeah, that's why I said this guy brought up Augustine who was a Gnostic, and he had so many heresies, and the guy's talking about him like he's this huge, you know, father of the faith thing. And like Randy said,
yeah, but that's not Calvinism.
Yeah, that's where it came out of. Came out of Augustine, City of God.
Calvin followed Augustine?
Yeah, they believe in the same types of doctrine. Yeah,
I don't like Calvin at all. I mean, forget it. I don't like Calvin at all. But there's no connection with Calvin and Augustine. They made a break.
Yeah, he was following Jesus' teaching. Yeah, he was. If you look it up, you can see.
Yeah, I will. Right after we finish, I'll look it up.
Yeah. But anyway, could you just add that? Because we were really, really upset when we saw that stuff. We weren't looking on purpose, okay? We weren't. And
right. I'm not looking on purpose either. I'm coming up with the mask. They go. And his... this Erica is a real Catholic. I mean, a real, real Catholic.
Yeah. Right. So I just, it makes me so sad to think about, you know, these young people being misled.
Yeah. And if Charlie's not there to block it, to correct it, you know, and she's a Catholic, she's going to bring in all these Catholic friends with her.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, anyway, I wanted to bring that up as a prayer concern.
Uh-huh.
So that because I think we need to do that, because it's like they took something that started out really good and it got derailed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's other areas operating besides that. I mean, Charlie's was really big politically. And I didn't hear anything really about the Catholic Church. Until now. Now all of a sudden it's like blown open and there's the Catholic Church. So definitely we have to pray again. Definitely. Definitely. Which I did pray.
Right. That's
already.
What I'm saying. It's
okay.
Very disturbing about the other people that he's affiliated with too.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Thank you,
so
Jim.
God bless everybody and see you tomorrow night. Hopefully. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me see the one in Philippians. For our citizenship is from heaven, from whence we look to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 9:28, Christ is coming for them that are looking for him. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift, today we claim,
send the fire today.
Well, God of Elijah, hear our cry.